Hey, good morning to you. Well, whenever you're watching it, maybe it's afternoon, maybe it's evening. Good day to you. I'm Bernie Miklas. Welcome to the Bernie Miklas Show here on YouTube. Yesterday, I had a video ready to go, and I actually posted it for about a minute, and then I realized I left some stuff out based on some information that I had come across earlier. So, you know, it was one of those days. The head wires were not connected to optimal levels. That's one way to put it, right? Anyway, let's get to the topic of the day. I wanted to talk about Eric Fetty. Derek Gould, my friend and longtime colleague at the Post-Dispatch, had an interesting story at STL Today over the weekend. According to Gould, who cited sources, other teams believe the Cardinals will, quote, they are open to the possibility of trading starting pitcher Eric Fetty. In one sense, it's certainly not surprising. I've been, as you know, if you watch me regularly, I've been advocating trading Fetty since the end of last season, simply because he almost certainly will walk as a free agent at the end of 2025. And, you know, keep in mind the Cardinals also, it was the Cardinals who declared, hey, this is, we're going to take a step back in 2025, or we're going to have a reset in 2025. So in that realm, what was the advantage of keeping him? The reset was supposed to create opportunities for young pitchers and position players. Nope, didn't happen. The Cardinals have a log jam in the outfield, a log jam in the infield, no rotation vacancies, too many left-handed hitters. The rotation will at some point open up for Michael McGreevy and or Quinn Matthews. Pitchers are vulnerable, injuries happen. The Cardinals rotation could be shuffled out of necessity. And some would say, obviously, it should be shuffled even if there aren't any injuries. But we know how they roll on this. Michaelis and Mats are in the rotation, and ain't nothing that any of us can do about it, right, if they're going to stay the course with that. But injuries could also leave a couple of teams scrambling to contact Cardinals President of Baseball Operations John Mozeliak to check on Fetty's availability. In fact, there's a team out there already that's got some injury problems with their rotation, a team that spends a lot of money. The Mets are already down a couple of starters. Sean Manaea has got an oblique strain. Frankie Montas has a lat strain. Both will probably miss the start of the regular season. And these muscle strains are tricky, so we don't know how long they'll be out. But this is a hypothetical of what I'm talking about. They might get a call from the Mets. But the Mets have some depth, starting pitching depth, but it's not. It's the quality's lacking, let's say. So maybe the Mets, I'm just using them as an example. That's what we're talking about. All of a sudden you have kind of an emergency, and depending on the timing of the emergency, you might be really motivated to make a trade if you're a team like the Mets, maybe later rather than sooner. Anyway, Gould's report intrigued me. Is Fetty's name being put out there? I totally believe Derek Gould's reporting. And as he noted, yeah, teams around baseball believe that that's the case, that the Cardinals would listen to offers for Fetty. Again, I only see it as a positive. The only way I would see it as a negative is if I thought the Cardinals' motivation for trading Fetty was all about slashing payroll. If that's the primary reason to make a deal, it's the wrong reason, and it would be absolutely unacceptable. So to repeat, no reason to blast the Cardinals if they listen to, you know, bids from other teams for Fetty. That's what I was hoping they would do, and it would make sense. But the Cardinals should not sell Fetty for a short price. He's a good major league starter. If you want to say I'm wrong about that one, then you can say whatever you want. As always, I prefer to go with the facts about his season last year. So therefore, here are some Fetty fun facts. Try to say that three times real quick. I'm surprised I got that one in my mouth without getting all garbled. Anyway, in a 2024 season split between the White Sox and Cardinals, Fetty pitched 177 and third innings, ranked 17th out of 57 qualifying starters. 17th out of 57 with a 3.30 ERA. His home runs allowed rate was about 18th lowest or best among those 57 starters. I've mentioned this before, but let's go back into it again. This was a long time ago when I mentioned it. The Baseball Reference version of wins above replacement had Fetty ranked 6th among major league starters behind Tarik Skubal, Hunter Green, Chris Sale, Zach Wheeler, and Paul Skeens. When I first saw that, I thought, well, that seems a little off to me. And then I went, well, let's see what the Fangraphs version of wins above replacement has to say. And, you know, the Fangraphs version is different because Baseball Reference and Fangraphs, they use, it's based on how each site calculates wins above replacement, and they have different formula. But even if we go with the Fangraphs version, Fetty was still among the top 30% of major league starters last season. So, you know, if we agree or we all have the same feeling or many of us have the same feeling, well, I don't think he was the sixth best starter in baseball last season. And that's kind of, that was my reaction. Okay, let's say we think that. That's kind of, that doesn't make sense. All right, fine. But Fangraphs has him 17th. I mean, either way, whatever system you're going with, he was a top 17 major league starter last season. So I think that's really good. According to StatCast, and StatCast does not lie about pitches and their quality and many, many other things. That's where you go for the truth. Fetty last season rated among the top 12% of all pitchers, that includes relievers, in pitching run value. He was in the top 13% of fastball value. He was in the top 11% of breaking ball value. His only substandard type of pitch was the off-speed pitches. But I looked at the numbers real quick. Got beat up a little, but not too bad. To put a finer point on this, let's get into some specifics. Fetty, according to StatCast, had the fourth best sweeper pitch among all pitchers, including relievers. His cutter was the eighth best pitch, the eighth best cutter. His sinker was 14th best among pitchers, including relievers, who used the pitch at least 200 times during an opponent plate appearance. Now, tell me, how is that not a good pitcher? Again, I have no problem. Obviously, is anybody disagreeing with me? But can you bring something to the table? How is that not a good pitcher? Fetty made 10 starts for the Cardinals after the trade from the White Sox. The first one was bad. You know, it wasn't settled in. Whatever, it happens. But that left a lasting impression with some fans. I don't know how many, but some. And, you know, kind of forgot the fact that he settled down and he had a 3.20 ERA over his final nine starts. And again, what is wrong with the 3.20 ERA over nine straight starts? Pretty good, I think. All right, here's another thing. Last season, Fetty held opponents to no more than one earned run in 45% of his starts. He gave up no more than two earned runs in 65% of his starts, and he allowed three runs or less in 74% of his outings. Just for context, let me tell you this. That percentage of three runs or less in a start, 74% of the time, that percentage was very close to what Gerrit Cole did, the Yankee starting pitcher. And I'm not saying he is Gerrit Cole. What I am saying is that Fetty's better than a lot of people seem to think he is. He's not Zach Wheeler. He's not Dylan Cease. He's not Corbin Burns. He's not any other right-handed pitcher who is considered elite. Not saying he is, but he's a good starting pitcher. And if he's pitching well in 2025, it would be pure idiocy to sell him low. Here's another reason for that. His salary is only $7.5 million. And that enhances his value on the open market. And if you say, well, $7.5 million, oh, what is, is he got to apply for, public government assistance? Is he going to be able to feed his family? I get the sarcasm. That's because I'm sarcastic. But just to give you some context, now that I monkeyed around there for a minute, for 30 seconds, this season, 73 starting pitchers will have a higher salary than Eric Fetty. That's excellent value for the dollar, what he makes. So I'm on board with this because I've always been on board with his idea. You know, number one, you acquire meaningful prospects for Fetty, and if you do, that would fit into the team's desire to add more talent for the future. And to me, that's what this is all about, making sure the future is going to be better than the recent past. Number two, if you trade Fetty sooner or later, that would open a 2025 rotation spot for McGreevy or Matthews. And that might motivate the Cardinals to trade Fetty sooner than later. It's just really a matter of timing. It's a question of timing. So when do you make such a trade? Well, you make such a trade when you get an offer that warrants making the trade. You don't trade them unless they're really, really happy with what's being offered. And that applies to any trade, one made sooner, one made later. And, you know, I was able to get in touch with the source and got a better handle on the situation. And I was told the Cardinals will not trade Fetty if the offers are so-so. The price has to be right or no deal. If the Cardinals stick to that, it's good to know if they stick to that. Second, if the Cardinals stay open-minded about trading Fetty, they believe they'll get more for him at the closer to the trade deadline. You know, they believe that that's a distinct possibility. They're not saying for sure, because there's a lot of things that can happen. But by the time teams are ready to make some moves at the trade deadline, contenders will be angling for upgrades, especially if they've had injuries in their starting rotation and they're worried about it being viable for the rest of the season then into the playoffs. And you would think the injury factor would be more prominent after 3+ months of baseball, right? So those of you who told me the Cardinals would secure more for Fetty if they waited until the trade deadline, you know, you have an excellent chance of being correct. You do. Tip of the cap if you are. That said, I have some follow-up thoughts, and we've talked about this. If you hold on to Fetty, it's risky because there's always a chance of injury, and that if it's something serious, the Cardinals would lose their chance to trade him and cash in. That same thing applies to Ryan Helsley. And what if Fetty doesn't maintain the performance he turned in last season? That would cool the interest, or could cool the interest. How do I define that? I don't know. Last season, as we told you, he was a top 17 major league starter at worst. And so what if all of a sudden, you know, that 3.30 ERA becomes, I'm just going to throw something out there randomly, you know, a 4.68 ERA. Would there be a less interest in him? Well, I would think so, but there still would be interest. It's just maybe you don't get as much for him. Next, as you know, the people that pay attention to what I say, I don't buy into the idea of the Cardinals being a surprise team that can charge their way into contention. I hope that's the case, but I'm going to have to see it rather than just have blind faith. But for the purposes of this discussion, let's present a hypothetical. Suppose it's the All-Star break. Suppose it's soon after the All-Star break. Suppose you're getting close to the trade deadline. Suppose the Cardinals find themselves in striking distance of a playoff spot. Would this change their outlook? If they're 3 or 4 games out near the deadline, will they decide, wait a minute, we should hold on to Fetty and by extension Helsley. We should hold on to these guys. They better remain level-headed about this because the Cardinals were in a wild card race at the trade deadline last season, and I double-checked it again this morning. They were a game and a half out of the third wild card on deadline day, so they were in the race. That's why they acquired Fetty and also Tommy Pham. But the Redbirds, as you know, kind of fell apart soon after that and slipped out of contention. On the surface, making the playoffs would be a positive development because, among other things, it's a good experience for their younger players. But another quick and early elimination would bring about the other side of this. If they get bounced right away, if they make it, again, hypothetical. Another early elimination, a bounce out in the first round, it would just remind critics of their long postseason drought that's been here in St. Louis, postseason success. So to have that dredged up again, and rightfully so, it wouldn't be good for the Cardinals. So here's another scenario. Since we're doing hypotheticals, let's say the Cardinals are doing better than expected. Again, I'm skeptical about that, but I'll play along just for a conversation and to put more ideas on the table. Let's say a wild card is within reach, and the front office declines to upgrade the roster to make a push. Suppose they're a couple games out. They were a couple games out at the deadline last season, and it didn't work, even though they made a good trade for Fetty and they brought in Pham. So what if this time around the front office says, no, we're not going to do that, even though that they are within reach of a playoff spot? You know, and I know that a percentage of fans, I don't know how many, but a percentage of fans would be furious about that. So one way or the other, the Cardinals front office is going to get somebody ticked off. Well, they have a habit of getting many people ticked off. But anyway, see, this is, I don't have sympathy for them because, see, this is what happens when you build the team with the idea of staying in that middle, not going all in, not really making a push to win, but not rebuilding, just staying in the middle. Reset? No reset. Stay here in the middle. A big part of their strategy is hoping that other teams fail. That's not a good strategy. Hoping that other teams stink more than you do. I don't like that as a strategy, but we've seen the Cardinals basically take that approach for several, how many years now? Quite a long time. You know, hoping that the other teams fail and hoping that you have enough things that will go just right for your club, you got to make a deeper commitment to winning. Anyway, lastly, if a trade is to be made, do you trust the Cardinals to get the appropriate value? Let me answer the question for you. No, not unless John Mozeliak loops in Heim Bloom and assistant GM Rob Serfolio. And you know what? He will. With their backgrounds, they know a heck of a lot more about other teams' prospects. I'm talking about all the other 29 teams. They know a hell of a lot more than anyone that's been in the St. Louis baseball operation before Bill DeWitt recruited Bloom. Those two guys should know if a trade offer is right or if a trade offer made for Fetty is not enough. And I repeat, Mozeliak will do that. First of all, he doesn't want to make an awful trade or two in his last major action as the president of baseball operations. And he is sincere about including Bloom in every decision that impacts the future. Bloom takes over from Mo after the season, so he should have a say in this, and he will. I am confident in that. But payroll cutting should not be a factor here because the Cardinals have already reduced the payroll by a substantial amount. I don't need to walk you through it. You know exactly the players that were here last year who were not invited back, basically. And there are even some other factors to that. Like, for example, when the Cardinals traded Tommy Edman to the Dodgers, they paid Edman about $4.1 or $2 million of his salary for last year, but the Dodgers picked up the rest of that. The Dodgers also inherited the Cardinals contract that will pay Edman $9.5 million this year. My point is that when we say they reduced the payroll, they started to reduce the payroll last summer, right? But the Edman trade was made because they thought it was the best way that they would get Fetty. So I get that. You know, both things can be true, right? Save money, but also raffle off a player that will get you the starting pitcher you covet. Both things can be true. More importantly than any of that, Mozeliak already told us the Cardinals would not have to trade a player to reduce salary, to reduce the payroll, just because Nolan Arenado is still here. That at first he said, I think this came from on high, Bill DeWitt, well, if we can't move Arenado, we're going to have to reduce salary elsewhere on the team. And he said it, interestingly, that it was more about maybe he would think about trading a position player. But now he's backed off all of that because he wanted to keep the pitching. But he's backed off all of that and said, no, we don't have to do that. If Arenado's here and he's here, we don't have to take payroll out of some other area of our team. So, and let's be honest, and you have been honest, and I've been honest. The reset wasn't a reset. It was basically a payroll slice and dice. And the Cardinals have added no major league talent to their roster this offseason. They've signed a couple guys to minor league contracts, which are not major league contracts. The one guy, Nick Anderson, a relief pitcher, was really good a couple, 3 years ago, whatever. Yeah, he's someone to keep an eye on, but they signed him to a minor league deal. It's pennies, relatively speaking. They haven't spent any money on They haven't traded for any kind of established major league talent, and on, you know, all this stuff. So that brings me to the final thing, which we all can agree upon, I'm pretty sure. If the Cardinals trade Fetty for a low return merely to burn off more payroll, that's going to give fans another reason to stay away from Busch Stadium in 2025. And they might not sell as many of those direct-to-consumer streaming packages either. That'll do it today. I appreciate you for watching. And we'll be back with another Bernie Miklas show. Take care.